Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare leadership and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SPU. And our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, self-coaching, to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Gail Gazal, physician and physician coach. She has coached over 500 physicians so far. A quick note about her background. She graduated from Cornell University and currently is a part-time assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and associate scientist at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I met Gail as one of inspiring IOC top leaders during our coaching and blogging activity at IOC Healthcare Advisory Committee before pandemic and continuously till now. I'm honored to call her my friend and grateful that she's here with us today. Welcome to our podcast, Gail, and let me know what else do you like the world to know about you, except that you are also a wonderful mother.
Oh, you're too kind, and it's a complete pleasure to be here and with your listeners today, so thank you so much. Yes, I will add a couple of things. So my background is that I was a hospice physician for most of my career, and it was such a privilege to work with patients and their families during this incredibly sacred time in their lives. Along the way, I became a mindfulness meditation teacher. I've had a lot of interest in mindfulness and really deepened my own knowledge and my ability to utilize mindfulness personally and professionally. And I'm so delighted to share with your audience that my new book, Mindful MD, 6 Ways Mindfulness Restores Your Autonomy and Cures Healthcare Burnout, actually comes out on June 14th. So that's a little bit about my background.
That's wonderful to hear that. And it's just 2 days after my birthday.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Gail, we talked in the past few podcasts that we were having about the living in a mindful universe and a different kind of meditations, but we never actually had a chance to autopsy exactly what mindfulness truly is. And since your book is all about being mindful, can you elaborate on that for us?
It's a great question because mindfulness has become a bit of a buzzword, hasn't it? And it can be confusing to people. What does it really mean? And it's really pretty straightforward. It's about a type of awareness that we can have, an awareness of what's going on right in front of us when we pay attention to the moments of our lives, what's going on within us, what's going on around us. And we do it, it's often said, non-judgmentally, but I would offer that it's with less judgment than most of us bring to the moments of our lives. So it's this ability to cut through some of the faulty lenses and what's often thought about as cognitive distortions that we all have about how we view our world, assumptions, inferences, beliefs about ourselves and about others that may be true, but actually may be false. And so with mindfulness, we're paying attention, we're stepping out of our thoughts, and we're paying attention to our actual lived experience and seeing what that is like. And it's often much more vibrant. It's often much more enjoyable, much more positive, much more connection and values-based than a lot of our thoughts would lead us to think. And for me, it just offers really an ability to step out of my own mental stories and my own kind of inner criticisms, my own beliefs about the world, my own expectations, and really live in a much more conscious and aware fashion.
Yeah, I understand. So in the work of emotional intelligence, we talk a lot about the self-awareness. So how mindfulness and self-awareness are different, or are they the same?
It's an important distinction because mindfulness is really about how we live. So I think about it as it's awareness in the service of training our minds to focus where we want our minds to focus. So often when we really pay attention to what our mind is up to, we realize that our mind is almost like a bunch of chattering monkeys up in a tree. You know, if you can imagine them, you know, chit-chatting away and grabbing for the next banana. Our minds are really wild, somewhat untamed places. So we're utilizing awareness in the service of training our mind to focus where we want it to focus. You think about what a distracted world we live in, right? That we're all almost in a state of continuous partial attention between our devices, between all of the noise in our environments, between our long to-do lists, our busy jobs, all the demands in healthcare, for example. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could train our mind to tune out those distractions and actually focus on the reality of what's in front of us, the patient who's in front of us, the colleague who's in front of us, the medical assistant, our husbands, wives, kids, etc., and really step out of all that noise and busyness. It would provide us a lot more presence, and it would probably provide us a lot more enjoyment and satisfaction in whatever it is we're doing.
I see. So I can just say that we can just say that self-awareness comes first, then mindfulness completed it. So it's just that the more evolved stage of self-awareness becomes the mindfulness, and how important it is to be mindful in our everyday living just to have our peak performance.
I love that way of thinking about it, Kinush. And in particular, I think when people hear the word mindfulness, it conjures up a lot of interesting images, not just when we think about that monkey mind that I referenced, but, you know, we might think about monks meditating on the mountaintop, or we might think about aging hippies from Woodstock. And really, this is about a very pragmatic approach. This is about becoming the master of our mind rather than the captive. And when we sit and really focus on what's going on in our mind, we realize we are the captive. We actually are. Our minds are, you know, sort of firing away 6 to 20,000 thoughts a day at the low end. I think for us in healthcare, it's probably more like 50,000 thoughts a day, crazy number of thoughts. And the mind going from the past to the future, worries, fears, preoccupations, judgments, right? And so what we're really talking about here is a way of living, a way of approaching our work, a way of approaching our relationships, a much more intelligent way, we might say, of interacting with the difficulties that we face. That's, to me, what mindfulness is all about.
Yeah, it's an ideology for life and the lifestyle, as you mentioned. And I like the part that you said that mindfulness and meditation is not just sitting quiet like, you know, the monks do on the mountaintop. We can do meditation or be mindful in also in a different way. So just can you elaborate on the relationship between the mindfulness and meditation? And if there is any link to mental well-being or mental fitness with mindfulness and meditation of any kind?
Yes, it's interesting because I think there is a lot of confusion about these two terms. Meditation is the process by which we can become more mindful. But of course, we're not going to sit and meditate 24 hours a day or in our waking hours. And so what's really important is what's called that time off the cushion, meditation kind of known as the time on the cushion. And so many physicians say to me, you know, Gail, I can't meditate. My mind is so busy. Mm-hmm. And probably a lot of non-physicians have that sentiment as well. So it's really important for people to understand that we're not trying to banish thought with meditation or with mindfulness. If we tried, we wouldn't succeed anyway, because it's the mind's job to produce thought. Right?
Yeah.
So we're not banishing thought. Really, what we're doing when we sit in meditation is two things. We're noticing what our mind is up to. We're observing what our mind is up to. We're noticing when there's a thought, an emotion, a physical sensation. That's the first thing. The second thing that we're doing is we're gently shifting the mind's focus back to the anchor, which is most typically our breath. So we're noticing when a thought appears. We're not judging ourselves harshly for that. There's nothing wrong with us for having thoughts. And then we're kindly and gently kind of shepherding the mind's attention back to the anchor of our breathing. And it's called a practice for a reason, because we don't typically get that practice of awareness, right? We're so busy. We're so, you know, all of us in our lives, but particularly those of us in healthcare, we're so busy, busy, busy. We're going, going, going constantly. So with meditation, we're kind of putting a pause, and instead of all that doing, 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 we're actually just being, and we're noticing, what is it that's going on within me? How can I befriend that?
Yeah.
And then very importantly, how can I use that awareness to really be present with those around me, to focus on the good that's happening in my life as opposed to all the difficulties, for example? We're using that awareness so we can be most resourceful in encountering the challenges that we invariably face, certainly in our careers and also in our lives.
Yeah, and how important is that awareness of breath and awareness of our body sensation, you know, to help our mindfulness. So sometimes it has happened to me when I'm focused on a task or job, I forget breathing. And then I suddenly catch myself, you know, I haven't been breathing, you know, or a deep breathing, you know, for some times now. And that point is the meditation, the breathing meditation for me. So I started paying attention to my breathing and just doing a quick to go, you know, breathing meditation to be more mindful and aware of that moment.
Well, isn't it interesting though, what you said, Kiyanush, that moment of awareness that you've kind of gotten caught up in stress, for example, or in worry or fear or preoccupation about something that you're engaged in. That moment is the powerful moment of awareness. It's the moment of choice, isn't it? I could go back to all that stress and not breathing deeply and run, 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 go, 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 worry, worry, worry. But I actually have a choice. I can actually calm myself down by taking even 3 slow, deep breaths. And to me, that's the autonomy that mindfulness gives us, those moment-to-moment choice points that we have. And that's so critically important for us in healthcare, where a lot of external autonomy has been wrested from us, right? I don't think anybody's going to question that, whether they're a physician, a nurse, a technician in healthcare, a pharmacist, or even if they are a patient. But really what interests me and what I talk about a lot in my Mindful MD book is that when we can see those choice points more clearly, and we realize, wow, I really can control my stress a little bit more. I really can have more autonomy about how I interact with the next person and whether I'm going to be kind of emotionally activated or I'm going to take that little bit of a pause to calm myself down. That for me is the beauty of how mindfulness restores autonomy and in fact can be a powerful medicine to mitigate burnout.
Yeah.
That's really what I explore in the book with my 6 ways.
Yeah, I look forward to it. And it is really important, you know, the autonomy and agency and, you know, in our healthcare space and our hardworking physicians and nurses and leaders, you know, in healthcare. And so much autonomy has been wrested from them. And the mindfulness is really important here to restore that autonomy.
Yes.
Can we heal the burnout or overcome emotional challenges that we have with the mindfulness to achieve the mental fitness and well-being?
Well, we most definitely can. And in the hundreds of physicians and physician leaders that I've had the pleasure of coaching over the last 12 years, I've really seen that in action.
Example.
So,
give us an example of it, how that
mindfulness. So I was just coaching an anesthesiologist this morning, actually, who was really in a state of burnout and a state of hopelessness and came to coaching because she wasn't sure she could continue in her career. She was so frustrated by the understaffing in the ORs, the sometimes unsafe conditions as a result of that, the expectations, you know, to cover multiple ORs at the same time as an anesthesiologist. And she also just felt like she couldn't be present with her loved ones. She would get home at the end of the day, completely drained, depleted. She'd sit at the dinner table, you know, with her twins, her young twins, and she just felt like she wasn't even really listening to them. She was irritable. Her mind was going 100 miles a minute. And so difficult. We can find ourselves in that situation. We don't learn in our medical training how to be the master of our mind. So we can find ourselves really not knowing how to slow it all down and how to be present when we leave the workplace, let alone with our coworkers, colleagues, and patients. And so in addition to that, she told me, you know, I can't be happy with everything that's going on in healthcare. How could anybody expect me to work in this way? These conditions, you know, I'm not thriving in this. And I can't be happy with the electronic health record. I can't be happy with all of these compliance metrics. And, you know, as you can hear, she was in a very downtrodden state. And after validating and empathizing with the deep, deep despair that this anesthesiologist was experiencing, I challenged her a little bit, because that is my job as a coach, is to kind of challenge the status quo. And I said, you know, it's interesting that you're saying you can't be happy when things are the way they are. Is that true? You know, she chuckled a little bit, because she was beginning to realize that in a sense, she was handing over her happiness to all the dysfunction in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And she began to realize that she didn't have to, that of course there were difficulties going on and areas where she was rightfully dissatisfied, but she began to see that she had a choice. She didn't have to believe the storyline that her mind was hooked on. I can only be happy if, and I can't be happy because. And she realized even furthermore that she didn't want to role model that for her beautiful 8-year-old kids. She wanted to role model them having that autonomy over their own sense of goodness and happiness and contentment. She didn't want them to learn that they were kind of pawns in a dysfunctional system, whatever they end up doing in their future lives as these kids grow up. That's the autonomy that I'm talking about with mindfulness. When we notice our mental stories, we almost become the diagnostician of our own mental stories. And we realize, again, we have a choice. We can follow those stories, then these shoulds and expectations and comparisons and beliefs, but we don't have to. That's the moment of autonomy. That's the moment of choice that we can each gain. And if you think about Viktor Frankl's quotes, you know, this man who survived unspeakable horrors and saw just an unbelievable amount of tragedy, right, in the Second World War. And really what he taught us is that that's the one thing that can't be taken from us, is our freedom to choose how we respond. And I wish we'd really learned that in our medical training, right? Mm-hmm. I think we'd have a lot less burnout if we learned how to work with our own mind and how to really see the choice points that are actually present no matter what is going on.
Yeah, understanding, you know, our mind, our body, you know, and our soul. I think that's the most important thing about to know about ourselves. And how important is that, especially, you know, for the healthcare practitioners and for the leaders, and I mean everyone in the community. And just, I mean, how we can apply this in a practical way in our everyday living and in the healthcare space.
I think there's a lot that we can do that does not add time to our day. One practice that I think you alluded to in that example that you shared, Kanush, is that we can take what's called a purposeful pause. We can notice when our emotional temperature has risen, right? We feel annoyed, frustrated, angry. Mm-hmm. We might feel disrespected by things that are going on in this complex healthcare matrix. We can take our emotional temperature on a simple, let's say, a 1 to 10 scale. We can notice and kind of tell ourselves, oh boy, my emotional temperature is high. I need to calm things down. I'm going to take a purposeful pause. And what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to take 3 slow, deep breaths. That might take 15 or 20 seconds, right? Time that we can all find, no matter how busy and how pressured our day is. So we can take those purposeful pauses at times when we need it, when it's a little bit of a lifeline, because we're so activated, we are at risk of doing something that we might later regret, right? Something that we might say to somebody, or we might roll our eyes, or we might, you know, not give somebody the attention that they're due. The purposeful pause is so easy, and yet it's powerful. We can regulate ourselves. We can gain that autonomy over ourselves and our own state of being. And that is, I have certainly found, and I've seen it in the hundreds of physicians that I've coached, it is very empowering. And that's an empowerment that everybody in healthcare needs and deserves to have. So that's a simple practice. I'm all about pragmatic things. I'm not about going and, telling people they have to meditate for hours and time that they don't have. It's great if people want to meditate. They can start with 5 minutes. They can maybe go up to 10 minutes. But what I think is important, and really what I cover in Mindful MD, is these kind of just things that you can do in the course of your day that improve the quality of your day for yourself and for those that you interact with. And I'll say as well, if people want to download a free chapter of the book, they can do that at gailgazelle.com/mindfulmd.
Yeah, and I know, and I've taken that course also. You have some free meditation course also on your website too. If they can, they like, they can subscribe to that to that also.
Yes, yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I took that, and it was really, I was listening to it when I was sleeping, and sometimes when I'm waking up, and I love your, healing, calming voice just to take me through that. But also, as you mentioned, the purposeful pause, that's such a wonderful, phrase to have it, the purposeful pause. And that's also a quick way for to go, for the busy physicians to do that, I mean, during the days, or for everyone, actually. And I like the way that you mentioned the emotional temperature, taking the emotional temperature. So the prescription is just take your emotional temperature, BID, and the prescription, the another prescription and medication for us is that do the breathing meditation or the purposeful pause. That's the our remedy today, I guess.
And isn't it wonderful? A non-pharmacologic intervention that costs nothing and that takes less than a minute to regulate ourselves, to pause and to actually think, what's most important here? Where do I need to focus? What is the one next thing? How can I be at my best with my family, with my patients, with my colleagues? That's what we're talking about here. There's a lot at stake in our complicated and many would say broken healthcare system. And yet we can all play that part in managing ourselves so that we kind of lead to one of my six ways that mindfulness restores our autonomy and cures healthcare burnout, which is cultivating upward spirals as opposed to the downward spirals that many of us are finding ourselves in our healthcare environments, right? It can almost be like a vortex of negativity in healthcare, what we can get caught in, and we can go down, 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 and yet we can be a force to help ourselves and those around us move in an upward direction. That's something each and every one of us can contribute to, and it's deeply important.
Yeah, exactly. And how important, as you mentioned, to catching ourselves and the stories that we are telling ourselves, that moment of, paying attention to that story, to paying attention to that feeling, paying attention that this is the moment that we have to pause, that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the Mindful MD in your book, as your book title, but we also practicing, the leadership coaching. And I believe that everyone is the leader. All the physicians are the leaders. So as a part of, the leadership coaching and our practice, how do you envision a mindful leaders and ideally a mindful world, Gabe?
Leaders have so much influence and so much power to help shape the morale of their people. They don't always realize that because in particularly in today's healthcare environment, they're running from one crisis to another. I was just coaching an oncology leader today somewhere across our country, and she was talking about the shortage of life-saving chemotherapy drugs and this crisis that they're experiencing on top of the understaffing and the lack of nurses to actually administer chemotherapy. And so that pull to crises is really powerful for physician leaders. And yet, I really encourage physician leaders to think about what they're role modeling and that they can role model that ability to be calm and steady. Just think about like a ship in a storm. And we could have a leader who succumbs to the terror of that and the crisis of that and is frantic. Or we could have a leader who's calm at the helm of the ship. And if you think about the sailors who are manning or womaning that ship, which one are they going to function better in? They're going to function with a calm, steady leader who can lead them through that storm and not succumb to that kind of emotional dysregulation, right? So that's what we need in healthcare, is we need that steadiness, and mindfulness can really help physician leaders stay steady, even in the midst of all of the tumult and all of the change and all of the, you know, the crises that are coming their way. And by role modeling some of that calm and steadiness that they can gain through a mindful approach, they feel better in their day. They feel more empowered. The leader can leave their day with their head held high, that they have really been at their best. And they've inspired their people with all the things that they can't control and can't change. They've inspired their workforce to also have that calm and steadiness, which really assists all of us in healthcare. It's really what we need, and it is the part we can each play in creating the healthcare system that we all so desire.
Yeah, exactly. So the inspirational leadership, you know, and is the consequence, I guess, of the mindfulness and bringing the mindfulness to the leadership, as you mentioned.
It really is. It's stepping out of all of the mental stories, the thoughts, the reactivity, all of these patterns, and really stepping into, how can I hold myself steady so that I can really be the force for good, so that I can really be the true leader and healer that our healthcare system so desperately needs?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, emotions are contagious. So it's better to be contagious to relay and deliver calmness than the stress, you know, as the most infectious, you know, emotions we can, you know, transmit and transfer.
That's the true power we can each have.
Exactly. And we all have to try to just do it by little, you know, just small steps, starting with our own, you know, awareness and mindfulness, and deliver it to the others gradually. And getting close to the end, Gail, I just want to appreciate, you know, having you here for sharing your experience and your compassionate wisdom for us and for our audience, especially those who are in the healthcare space, and to our listeners as well for being with us today. And I just want to ask you one more time if you have any other resources that our audience would like to know about it, and your meditation course or your website and your book release date, which you mentioned is June 14. So anything else that, you know, you want to mention at the end, and this is the space for that.
Well, thank you, Kianush. So I do have a lot of free resources on my site. My site is gailgazelle.com, GAILGAZELLE.com. And I want to encourage your listeners to download a free chapter of my book. So that's gailgazelle.com/mindfulMD. And then if you'd like to access my free 14-day meditation series that I call The Daily Dose of Calm, you can access that at gailgazelle.com/DDOC for The Daily Dose of Calm. And there are other free resources there about charting, about leadership, a number of different resources about overcoming the imposter syndrome. Those are all free, and I encourage your listeners to avail themselves of those free resources.
Thank you so much, Gail, for all these, you know, free gifts that you are sharing with us and with our network. And I really am grateful and appreciate you being with us today, and wish you the best with your book. And I look forward to reading it, and I'm going to download the chapter right now.
Such a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for this opportunity.
Have a wonderful day, and thank you for being here again.
Thank you.
Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.